This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:45. I'm calling the October 18th Student Assembly meeting to order. Chelsea, if you could please call the roll, whenever.
Who? Say that again. Excuse. Unexcused. Unexcused.
Here.
I don't know where they are. He's excused. Sorry.
Excuse.
Excuse.
Who? He's here. I saw him a second ago.
Right there. Here. Unexcused.
She's just outside. Just make her
leave.
No, here. She's just outside. Sorry.
Okay. First, announce before we go into any other parts of the agenda, I'd like to welcome Juan Carlos Toledo. He is the new Tri-Council liaison to the Student Assembly. For those of you who don't know, every semester, a representative from one of the three Greek councils, IFC, MGLC, Panhel, there's a representative who comes to the SA. Last spring, it was Hannah Geiser. So if you could all welcome him, and we're excited that you're here. Next on the agenda is approval of the October 11th, 2012 meeting minutes. What? There's been a motion to approve, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we're going into open microphone, which means if there is anyone in the audience who would like to speak, who wants to present to the SA about any issue, you are welcome to come and speak about anything, updates, issues. Seeing that no one wants to speak, we're going to move on to announcements and reports. And I'm actually going to make the first announcement. Actually, I'll do it at the end. So the first announcement will be an AAP announcement by Representative Smith.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I need to just for that. That was a very good community meeting today, and they want you guys to kind of look at the diversity.com at the EU. If you have any feedback on that, just email me, and I can give a form that I can give you to fill the message of the link from the drop down. And the issues that they talked about today, like the stuff we have in the issue that we've been talking about, creating goals for the group, because based on the thing that is just by the way that there is confusing directions for it. And it's interesting to note that the same frustration that we have, the same frustration that we have,
thank you. Before we continue, I'd just like to recognize Ray Mensa, former Executive Vice President of the Student Assembly, sitting in the front row. Class of 2011. So welcome back, Ray. We're excited to have you here. Moving on, an announcement is a farmers market announcement by Representatives Ballack and Marshall. Just to circle back to the farmers market announcement, I believe that Sarah and Jill and Ross, who isn't here right now, are in talks with having a table at the farmers market for the SA, potentially giving out free pumpkins, potentially giving out apple cider, but also making it sort of an campus climate component to it, so if people are interested in kind of raising concerns. Thank you. Next is a health task force announcement. A little louder. Thank you. Next is an elections announcement.
Everyone can hear me? We need a mic.
Hey guys, so it's hard to believe that we're in mid-late October. We're already starting to think about the election process for
elections committee expressly hard at work beginning to devise the election rules for that cycle. And we highly encourage all current members of the public to keep input and to begin to discuss the process. It's only as powerful as the knowledge we bring to it, and based on your experience, it's crucially valuable in allowing us to ensure an election with integrity and allowing you to make sure that the best candidate can get elected in the best way possible. With that in mind, the Elections Committee will be hosting a meeting next week in open house, office hours of sorts, where you guys will be invited and encouraged to drop by, tell us anything that you feel will be relevant, popping up in draft of the rules, whether it be experiences, suggestions, what have you. That time will be emailed out as soon as I find my own time, which is as soon as the members of the Elections Committee, including certain seniors, able to get back to their availability for next week. And we really encourage all of your common board groups to email me, because, like I said, we really, really appreciate your input in making sure we can make the best election process possible. So reach out and hope to see you guys right now next week.
Thank you very much. Next is an engineering representative report.
Hey, everyone. I'm talking to you about the CIT, or the Information Technology Committee. So I'm going to head to the CIT Information Officer in Germany, and also Vice President of Information Technology on Manager. I met them on Tuesday. It was a very fruitful discussion for over an hour. Basically, that work kind of initiatives that we're doing in the community movement. The first being local online courses, like they're using MIT and Harvard. Then the tech has program, which I know that a lot of people are involved with. We have like over 1,000 students, so we're going to be further expanding that, as well as strategic plans to help decide what technological needs of the university, and lastly, implementing learning and space upgrades, basically creating uniformity of like technology within all classes for professors to be able to have better expertise to present information to us in the classroom, as well as having an easier learning experience. So please give that update to you guys as well. I'll kind of give a plug for next week. I plan to bring a resolution for to expand membership for that, because you're doing a lot more than anyone could possibly support the team. So I'm really excited about it, and if any of you guys have any ideas or just want to involve, let me know.
Thanks. Next is an Ivy Council announcement.
Alright, hi everybody. So, as you guys know, I am the co-delegate for Ivy Council for Cornell. It's an organization that basically links with the government of the other schools. Very important part of my announcement is that registration for the 13th annual Ivy Leadership Summit is now underway. And registration will be open until November 1st. The summit is going to be at Dartmouth College this year, from November 9th to the 11th. So if you're available, Mark, I'd like to announce it. It's going to be a great opportunity to meet and interact with student leaders from all the different schools. And there's a lot of offerings. So if you're out there, if you're interested in how they do this, you can see what they're doing, give us some ideas and bring that back and answer your questions. So I'm going to turn this around and say, hey, okay,
great, thanks. Next is a North Campus Committee announcement by the freshman representatives.
Okay, I'm going to announce on behalf of the board. Last week we met and did a good job bringing some new parts of
thank you. Next is an announcement from Don Muir, Representative Muir.
Thanks, Dan. So, on this Saturday at 7 p.m., we'll be the 21st annual Intercity Grant event where John Muir will be performing. Last call, hangover is first last call of the professor, but our next point is all going towards the great cause. So go out, see some of your peers perform. $10
Thank you. A couple announcements from me. I'm just pulling one up, sorry. The first is the College Town Neighborhood Fair announcement. This Saturday from 1 to 3, 4, till 4, the College Town Student Council organized a fair at the firehouse in College Town where they're going to be collaborating with a lot of different student organizations. The council was kind of a joint project of the ISC Panhel Student Assembly beginning last spring, and it should be a really cool event for those of you who can't make into the street. And it's parents' weekend for the freshmen, so if you want to bring your parents there, I'm sure they'll appreciate it. So that's a really cool event. We'll send more information on the listserv about it. Next is a university assembly announcement. Yesterday I went to the university assembly. I haven't been able to go because I have a class there that I need to graduate, but I've worked out an arrangement with the professor so I can go. And it was actually a really great meeting. The co-chairs of the Alana umbrella organizations were all there, including representative from Alana. They all presented on various issues within each of their communities, and it was, you know, great insight. I know we all, you know, are friends with the co-chairs, but it was a really like excellent presentation. And I actually invited them to present to us during an executive session of the SA within the next couple weeks. So just keep that in mind. And also we are working with them, as you'll see, on a resolution coming up, 17 coming up later. So just keep that in mind. It was a really interesting conversation and presentation. And then the last announcement is there is a Cornell Hunger Leaf. Do you want to make the announcement? Or okay. They're basically seeking to raise money for 165 turkeys for a food pantry in Groton. Each turkey is $15 and will buy a needy family basically a full turkey. If you donate over $10, you have the option of running in the 5K turkey trot on November 4th. But basically, I was in touch with the Public Service Center. I have this bag, also is a popcorn bag, but we'll use it for donations. If you are interested in donating, I think if the SA can sponsor a bunch of turkeys for the food pantry, it's a really important cause. We're putting the blurb up on our website, and we're going to try and spread it as much as possible to people we know. So at the end, and, you know, no pressure to donate, but it is a cool cause. We'll send around the bag at the end. Okay. Moving on to business of the day. The first is an appropriations committee report.
Thank you, President Gitlin. So this year, as you guys know, is not a bylaw funding year, so the appropriations committee is meeting with each of the bylaw funding organizations to kind of give them a breakdown of where we see their spending right now, how we can make it improve during the off-funding year, and suggestions that we have for them coming back next year. So you guys can read the reports yourselves. We tried to hand out agendas. If anyone in the audience doesn't have an agenda, the reports are all available online. So the first organization that we met with was Alana. And the basic breakdown that the committee had for Alana was that we understand that they're going through kind of an internal restructuring right now. We thought that their time during this restructuring period would be best devoted towards focusing on their role as a funding board and not a programming board. So we thought that their real added value was in the concept that they understood how to provide funding for programming in this area on campus in terms of diversity and inclusion in multicultural events. But not necessarily programming those events themselves. We saw less economy to scale there. We did think that in terms of the policies that they had for funding, they should internally develop more objective guidelines. That would be a better kind of framework for funding moving forward in terms of people coming to them and applying for funds. And we also explicitly pointed out how much they spend on food expenditures. One suggestion that a lot of committee members agreed with was the concept of them having an internal policy of saying, unless food is a core component of the event in terms of fulfilling Alana's mission, then it wouldn't be funded. So, like, if you had an event where you were funding an event where people could try different foods in a certain cultural area, then that would be something we would support. So that was the overall synopsis for Alana. The next organization that we saw was the Willow Tree Hall Student Union Board. For those of you who don't know, they also oversee the operations of the Bears Den Club, which hopefully all of you know is a pretty big student assembly initiative over the past 2 years. So operationally, we pretty much outlined there are four key components that we thought that they were striving to hit from a programming perspective, which was late night programming for 6 weeks, programming during the first 6 weeks, programming that it gave people more exposure to Willow Tree Hall as a building, and then programming that was effective in terms of dollars per student attended. We got out of the three of those. The most important were efficiency, so the last one, and late night programming. So that was an overall sentiment of the committee. And then in terms of the Bears Den, one key feedback that we had for them was that they're kind of like, because they are operating for the first time, they're rolling out changes as they go, as in like they're ordering things and putting them up, and we thought that they should try and go for more of an overall rebranding, in the sense that they should accumulate like a number of things and then maybe over winter break implement a number of changes at one time. So that's pretty much it. If you guys do have other comments that you would like for me to articulate to these organizations, you know, feel free to share them directly with me, or if you think that the entire assembly would benefit from them, then I guess Adam could open it up. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. We are, unless there are any, you know, urgent questions, we're going to move on to new business. Thank you very much, VP Desai. He's been putting a lot of hours into meeting with organizations, both within the Appropriations Committee and outside. He's been going to an executive board meeting and a general body meeting of each byline-funded organization, and is also meeting with them outside of that meeting. So he's putting a lot of work and time, effort into really focusing on improving student life on campus. So thank you very much. Moving on to new business. First is Resolution 15 in support of a Green Revolving Fund.
No, I agree with that. But it was just people that
Everyone could be quiet. Thanks. And if you could just say your name and year for the record.
My name is Kate Rush. I'm a veteran for the World War II.
And then, oh, sorry. So you have 2 minutes to present the resolution, and then we're going to go into question and answer.
So this resolution has been coming together over the past 2 semesters. A green revolving fund is an investment not for energy efficiency upgrades. Investments are made in green projects that generate monetary savings. The returns revolve or flow back to the fund for financial principles, and then the rest of the savings are absorbed into the operating budget. So a green revolving fund that has been proven to be a viable investment, and there are over 79 funds managed. $112 million invested, and universities who are participating include Harvard, UPenn, Princeton, Stanford, Caltech,
and meeting with Brennan assessment is 29%. The National Association of College and University Business Officers is also endorsing their effectiveness at capturing energy savings and providing educational opportunities to students. So that's a dream revolving fund. And then beyond the dream revolving fund is the $1 billion challenge. This is an initiative led by Mark Orlowski and the Sustainable Mountains Institute, and it's encouraging universities to invest a combined total of $1 billion in self-managed dream revolving funds. So in order to be part of the challenge, the university has to dedicate $1 million or more to a dream revolving fund. But as part of the challenge, we receive a investment tracking software. All the investments currently out there, you can also, with that software, see all the other investments made by other universities and compare the return on investment and how those projects are working out. So you get support from all the other schools, and there's currently $80 million out of $1 billion in the challenge. So I presented this 2 weeks ago to join Stefano, Susan Murphy, Hugh Lang, and AJ Edwards about the challenge. And right now, Hugh is working on evaluating bringing the Energy Conservation Initiative funding into the revolving fund. It's a work in progress. But Marco Lossi, who is orchestrating the entire building of the channel, was here last week, and Matt was joining us that now. And so the conversation has been started, and the revolving fund is not something new. It's been proven work, and Cornell, though they had a significant energy conservation initiative, this would support.
Great. Thank you. So we are going to go into the speakers list to ask questions to you guys. First on the speakers list is
Point of information.
Yeah. What's your point of information?
Because this involves, this is not directed to a specific section of campus that we have purview over, this allows to be legislation, it's not any recommendation or
something.
No, sorry, point of information.
I believe this has to be sent to body or a recommendation to the administration. Would the SA members who have dealt with those types before, do you have a preference which one of those that you would choose? Because we don't directly oversee sort of that. We don't oversee the endowment as the SA or review it. So it would have to be a recommendation to the administration or to the Board of Trustees or more. What? Recommendation? Is that okay? Okay. Basically, just for everyone here and everyone in the audience, the process of resolutions through the Student Assembly is they are brought to a Student Assembly Committee. They're sponsored by SA members with, you know, leaders from the community, various communities. They're brought to an SA committee and reviewed at that level, and then they're brought to the floor of the SA as new business, where we can only, like today, where we can only ask you questions. And then after a week, it becomes business of the day, where SA members can debate the resolution. And at that point, it can be voted on, and if it passes and it's appropriate, then we or I communicate that resolution to President Scorton and to the appropriate administrators. So this as a recommendation, if it passes, I would then send it off to President Scorton and the appropriate vice presidents and other staff and administrators to review, and then he would get back to us. Okay. So first on the speakers list is Representative... Okay. First on the speakers list is Representative Block.
Okay, great. So, thanks for bringing up this resolution. So, obviously, it's because of the green walls that I get. What I caution the students on the ground to do is after the resolution, if you don't have power or any recommendation from the students, what I'd like to know more is why does it matter whether the students are supportive of the idea? Because to me, I think that not
We're restricting it to questions. Do you have a question? I'll put you on the second speaker's list. Trustee Boris.
Hey guys, thanks for bringing that in. I have two questions. The first is, what sorts of projects have been funded in the past, and what do you see Cornell doing? And by that I mean, is it education campaigns? Is it infrastructure improvement? Is it buying more efficient light bulbs? Like, what kind of things are we working on? And then my second question is, have you thought about, instead of the big line of energy efficiency upgrade that is potentially higher returns, putting in that at 29% and having more returns than you have on the line, making that a specific point, because I think with some of the stuff that we're talking about.
Next is VP Luke Shetland.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just curious if as I look at this resolution, I see it as kind of affecting the entire campus. And so I was wondering if you had a chance to talk to like faculty, employees, or maybe have gone to the university assembly as that body has representatives from every constituency. I just think that would add more legitimacy to the proposal, is having the entire community behind it.
Next is VP Mueller.
Hi, thanks again for coming and bringing this great idea. My only concern, I'll ask a question for him here, are the administrators that you've been working with fully aware of how a program like this gets started and what of all the experiences that you were just speaking about at Pittsburgh and Stanford, et cetera. And if they do not, do you think that it would be more valuable, this resolution would be more valuable if, in addition to it, as an attachment, there were a report detailing sort of sharing with them explicitly what you know? Because I think you think that.
That's a good question. So, we want to presented to them last summer, or prior to the both physical documents and online resources. This year, $30 in the channel provides a case study of the various resources in this, and also give them a connection to bus presidents at government and universities from Vermont who are using these funds. So they have the resources available to them, but I guess the objective here is to show them that this is important and to put more behind it.
Taking off my question hat, asking hat, representative hat, and just putting on my administrative hat, it would be really great if when this comes back again next week, you could have a report, like all the stuff that you just talked about, you've been showing them, just include it as an appendix attachment to this, and that way it'll stay with this and go everywhere that this goes. It'll be in the records, it'll be online, it'll be every time we send it out and talk about it, so we can talk about this resolution with administrators, it'll be there with it. So that would be really helpful for everybody.
That's the end of the first speakers list. Does the audience have any questions? If you do, just feel free to raise your hand now and I can call on you, or feel free to email us later and we can get you in touch with the sponsors.
What?
So we are going to move on to the second speakers list for questions. It seems like Representative Black yields. Trustee Boris, did you still have... Is there anyone else who'd like to speak before? So this resolution is going to come up next week as business of the day. I think you heard some valuable questions and some feedback and ideas for it. So we look forward to seeing it next week. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is Resolution 16, Fall 2012 SAFC Appeals.
Because of how much more the rechargeable battery costs and how long, how
Thank you. I believe you're not allowed to. So, yeah, so we're going to open up the speakers list here. VP Mueller.
This is, is there any mechanism, or do you think it would be valuable to have any mechanism where you could outline cases where there have been sort of exceptions to the guidelines or appeals that have caught people off guard, sort of, like this one, and sort of explain that, like, cases that were, that happened and the rationale, or is it just sort of up to you, commissioners, to look back and see what the press needs was on their campus?
Are you talking about in terms of how the FAA appeals or how people apply them?
How FASB handles appeals? Like, how do they look at it in terms of precedent, like previous rulings, so to speak?
So just to recap for a second for people in the audience and new members, basically the SA is charged with reviewing organizations' appeals to the Student Assembly Finance Commission. So if they aren't happy with or if they believe that the Finance Commission erred in a decision, they can appeal it to the Appropriations Committee, our Appropriations Committee. The Appropriations Committee made a recommendation, and then we, as the SA, ultimately decide if that, you know, that was correct. With a two-thirds majority to overturn, just like the special projects that we talked about. In the past, there have usually been a lot more appeals. There have been years when it's been five or six appeals, and usually a lot more complicated than this one, and sometimes a lot more expensive than this one. Okay. So are there any, I'm just going to sort of stop and ask, are there any, like, questions or point of information about this process? And it's really okay because it took me a while. Yeah. Okay. So it's actually a directive as a point of information. If I can't answer, then
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's the recent lack of appeals? Do you have better
So I believe that is very much true. I don't know if you want to weigh in on that as well. Representative Muir.
Point of information. So when people come up to the FAFC appeals and they're looking to override the charter within the FAFC, we can go on to approve that appeal even if it's explicit within the FAFC charter at that point.
I'm going to yield to Roniel again.
Yes,
yeah,
the charter given to us to approve whether or not the FAFC errs in the interpretation of their guidelines. So never will Roniel say that this goes against the FAFC charter, but we just were deciding on funding it anyway. So, like, the exact wording of the resolution before you is the FAFC did err in denying funding because, et cetera, et cetera. So we are saying pretty explicitly here that this constitutes the definition of a valid expenditure under the current FHC guidelines, and that was a decision of the appropriation committee by the EPC.
Is there any? Well, so actually, I'm just going to ask if there's any dissent to the Appropriations Committee's recommendation. So, seeing no dissent, by unanimous consent, Resolution 16. So this has. Oh, sorry. This is an actual essay resolution. Okay, so I was under the impression that it was just like special projects where same situation. So thank you, Representative Smith. There's a motion on the floor to move move Resolution 16 to business of the day. It's been seconded. We're now going to open debate or entertain any motions. It's been called a question. There's a motion to vote, and it's been seconded. We are going to placard vote on this. So if you are in favor of Resolution 16, please raise your placards. If you are opposed, any abstentions? So by a vote of 18-1-0, Resolution 16 passes, and Cornell Go Club gets $30.13.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Moshe.
Second. So there's a motion to suspend the rules and go to Resolution 19 first. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Could you explain one more time a little more loudly and clearly? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to go to Resolution 19. So with the sponsors and Brendan, please come up. Yeah, including Brendan. And just to remind everyone, a representative of the Outing Club came to last week's SA meeting and presented about this exact issue. And Representative Ballack has been in touch with them about the issue. So good job following up with that. So you guys have 2 minutes to begin.
Representative on that day can begin to run out of one meeting. So we also acquired air from the natural world by instilling relationships in the specific system in the with the natural world, so they make more responsible decisions in their daily lives because they care about the world because they have a personal relationship with it. So a little bit about the history of how our relationship was going. The building was built in 1922 as a hockey lodge. And it's actually the original home of Cornell Hockey. When Lionel was built in 58, Cornell Hockey was built into it and allowed to use space. And now we have been asked to use by November 15, given that there is water in the roof, which is not maintained by the university. It's kind of like their goal is our problem. And we don't have $100,000 to fix the water damage. And so we are asked.
Great, thank you. So we're now going to open up the speakers list. First on the speakers list is Representative Smith. So we got Hinder Weinberg. You want? Next is Representative Block. Next on the secret list, Next on the secret list is VP Mueller.
Hi, thanks for coming. We appreciate that. You've taken time out of your day to come talk to us. We hope we can help you. I wanted to ask a question that of your faculty advisor. Who is that, and what has been their role in helping you find a place to store your stuff?
Simeon Warner, he works in the Recreation Library. He's been very helpful with networking. He's been with him around as long as I have.
Could you please plug in?
I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, so he's referring people who I contact speaking about himself. He's been helpful in the community, the bureaucracy, and the large institution.
Next on the speakers list is Representative Hinger.
Hi, Brian. Good to see you again. So
regarding the meeting, it's not that the problem is simply not like any wrong on your part, but simply the damage to the roof. So what is the original solution? Is this freeze? Are they intending to repair it? Is it $500,000? Why did your presence inhibit it? Why should it not be an issue? You know, have to move your equipment temporarily and then come back in the building. I guess you have to answer bit by bit. And then in regard to staying in the building, does the damage is so expensive that it would just, you have some time within the building anyway. Okay, so
Just to pause for 1 second, do you think you could rephrase the question? I couldn't fully
hear. So, the problem that there is water damage. The university solution, what is that? They plan to repair it. Your solution, if you are given the building, it doesn't need anything done. Should it be water damage? And if you're not given the building, what is your best alternative?
Yep, thanks.
Okay, so plan for repairs. The university doesn't have them out as far as you know. I've spoken with the people who would have such a plan, and they haven't revealed any sort of plan. The little background of the building is owned by the university. It is managed by facilities directly. Facilities doesn't have the money for driving the priority of fixing that building in their current financial position. So there is no plan for the water issue. I've spoken to numerous people, and it seems that the general desire for the relationship is just to raise the bill. That might be more of an economical decision. But as just a sort of plan for repairs, there is not a one. There is a long-term development plan for that study that is outlined in the Forge Safety development project that happened last year that Bob and I director from our organization of the meeting with the chairperson of.
You have 10 seconds.
And they basically allocated a lot of money to use all the stuff on the community for potential resources and we focused on recreation.
Much to extend to ask about what's going to happen if they remain in the building.
Okay. So the reason we're going to ask the building is because we need to find a place to put the water in. And the reason the data is going to be seen is to find because know those limitations that are going to go out for the So there is no plan for us to allow that into the building to be framed. So there is no construction on the back there. There is no plan to repair it. Except for the funds that have been allocated vaguely in the building project, which is the goal of which was to develop recreation on the U.S., which we are sole providers of in terms of one aspect of the community.
Next is Representative Smith. Oh, you didn't want. Do you yield? Oh, I thought you were on it. Okay. Next is Representative Chopra. Thank you.
information. We are in the process of contacting every building manager and every building on campus and trying to find space anywhere, but we have not gotten any positive replies yet.
Next is VP Breen.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for coming. We're glad that you guys are ready to come back to the FAA with the resolution to kind of confirm the support for what's going on. I mean, so, for number one, I think this is like really, really bad, and I'm kind of sorry that it happened. So, very sorry that it happened to you guys. And I don't know about the overall sentiment of the FAA, but I am 100% a chief supporter of this resolution.
We're in new business, so it's only questions. Do you have a question?
I don't have a question.
So that's the end of the speakers list. Yes. You have a question? Yes. Rep. Marshall.
I will. A little more time.
VP Desai. I'm going to yield to VP Desai.
So just to clarify, your question is, yes, the SAC is a funded organization under the Department of Labor, so there's no longer an X place on campus, and then X place on campus disappears. What happens to the good? So the good still exists. Like, once they pay for the goods, we're not going to, like, you know, go and take them away from them. If they've already applied for funds this semester, and, like, they, with honest belief, applied with the intent that they would have that storage space is no longer available, again, we're not going to rescind their funding. If they were to ever apply for funding for future goods, they would have to verify what the new space would be.
What happens to the existing gear?
Sorry,
what happens to the existing gear that's already purchased?
So they are under the obligation to find a new place on campus to store them. There is technically an auditing function, which currently is housed in the SAORC, which is an SA committee that is currently being restructured to be moved under the SAC. So if that were to happen at the end of this year, then the SAC technically has the right to ask the group at any time, you know, you purchase, drop money for the durable goods, you pay for the durable goods, and you show us where they are on campus. And if they were to do that, and they were, like, being misleading about any of that information, then it could affect their eligibility for funding in the future, years under the end of the statement clause. I believe it's section 2.
I was on the speaker list.
Okay, speaking to side.
So
this has been motion to become business of the day. Yes.
This is a test of body. Are the voting rules the same as legislation will have to be, or do you vote on the ground?
We do not. If this becomes business of the day, we have regular debate. This does not have to be voted on now.
Secondly, you don't have to wait a week for legislation. You only have to wait a week for a bylaw change. The FAC resolution was legislated.
So there's a motion to move it to business of the day. Do you think you can just explain why you would want it moved?
I mean, the whole premise was that we moved it to the top of the agenda because of the time and pressing the issue. I don't think that there's really that much information that either needs to be reviewed or collected between now and next Thursday that would impact my ability to vote on this resolution with good thoughts. So I'm going to move it so we can vote on it today.
Okay. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, it's been moved to business of the day. What? Sure.
I support this resolution. I think it's a great motion. I think at the end of the day, a sense of the body resolution is going to help you, but what, like, I guess Representative Wallace, you can't just leave it as a resolution of the university to respond. I think it's the onus is now on you to take this resolution contingent on passing to the applicable body in the administration and say, look, we've got the students on the support list, we can put them in there, whatever it is, the funding or allocation of space, and like, you're going to have to be proactive upon this passing. Okay, and then I will call the question.
SA Resolution 19 has been called to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? There's been a call for acclamation. I'm actually going to not entertain that motion because I think it would be stronger if, assuming that it does pass, which it seems like you guys would do, I think it would be stronger if you see the numbers. What? Sure. Calling for acclamation is a term which means that the entire SA believes it, that there's no dissent to it, and there's no dissent or call for acclamation, then we wouldn't even have a roll call or any vote procedure, and it would pass. Yes. Technically, it is unanimous consent. I didn't want to call Representative Muir out in front of everyone. It is technically unanimous consent. That's correct. I was going to explain that after the meeting. So there's been a motion to vote on this resolution. We are now going to placard vote. So if you're in favor of Resolution 19, please. Oh, sorry. Excuse me, 1 second. So just to explain this, there's a sense of the body resolution, meaning members of the audience, pursuant to the Student Assembly Community Clause, are permitted to vote, and the votes, they are allocated 2 votes, part of the final tally. So we can't, that's another reason why there cannot be unanimous consent. Okay. Yes? Okay. So we'll go to the audience. If you're in favor, actually, since there aren't enough audience members anyway, if you're in favor of Resolution 19 SA members as well, please raise your placards as well as audience members.
Oh, 1, 2. Oh, man. Raise your placard, boys. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
If you're opposed, any abstentions? By vote of 22 to 0 to 0, Resolution 19 passes. I gave it to him. Moving on to Resolution 17, Reforming JAMIC as a Student Assembly Committee for Inclusion and Diversity Initiative. Yeah. So will all sponsors come up here. In addition to the sponsors currently on, Shannon, who's in the audience, is co-sponsoring. Wait, I have a list. Hold on. One second. So we're actually just, in the meantime, we're getting a couple of the sponsors who are in Willard Strait Hall, but bringing them downstairs. That's just the pause of the meeting, I guess. Jeff, you guys can talk after the meeting. Still waiting for the co-sponsors to be retrieved, but members could sit. Okay. In addition to the sponsors on here, Salam, Shannon, Chris, and Hollis are also, the four of them are all also co-sponsoring this resolution. So you guys have
draw on that.
behind it today. So basically, we're going to change up to make it more an actionable organization rather than just a form for communication instead of a path. In the past, just maybe the representation from the four other organizations as well as Lana, and it's just been like kind of communicating, talk about different things that you but it hasn't been like a place where people are organization or objection. Objects, or tangible things that come about based on goals and desires. So, one of the things that we've changed is that the composition includes references from other members of the committee. So, we've committed, for example, NGO, the IFP, and all that representation of the committee, and the past is just so we think by having this composition and not making more of an action to our it would be easier for us to actually do something rather than just put it in law.
For the record, I was like talking to get a number of senators, and you would be the non-advisory
sure. Shannon Call, who's in the audience, Chris Sanders. Oh, sure. Shannon and Salam are the co-chairs of Black Students United. Chris Sanders is the president of the Interfraternity Council, and Hollis Hanley is the president of Panhellenic Council. And I opened up to sort of the entire working group if they wanted to co-sponsor, so there might be more co-sponsorships eventually, but I'm not sure. Okay, so we are going to open up the speakers list. One note is that the original text of the resolution there's track changes on this resolution because we met last night with the co-chairs of the umbrella organizations as well as representatives from Alana, as well as SA members, and we sort of discussed the resolution and sought input. And all the additions and changes in here are direct output and recommendations from the meeting. So, and now they are also going to bring it back to their communities over the next week and sort of get feedback on it to then bring back to us. Okay. First on the speakers list, and remember this is new business only, so only questions, Representative Block. No, it's not going to be moved. I'm not going to entertain that because it's a pretty big change and the sponsors aren't. Not all the sponsors are here for many reasons. But, yeah.
Because of the bylaw change, we may have removed this is the day, we would be able to vote on the next week, correct?
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, so as long as the co-sponsors understand that by moving it to business of the day, it doesn't mean it's going to be voted on today. It just means that student assembly members can make comments about it, and it's not just question form.
What? I did.
Okay, so I explained that at the meeting. Fine. There's been a motion to move it to business of the day. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Okay. So, Representative Block. Thank you. And by the way, if anyone in the audience would like to speak, just raise your hand, and I know all of you. Representative Stefanko. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Two quick questions. The first is, what does the leadership chapter look like? And then second of all, does this serve an actual purpose? Like, how would the public be able to like, be knowledgeable about what's actually existing? Because I kind of feel like if you sit on the website and the public would have no kind of idea of what's going on.
So
I'm going to
just
cover
what it looks like. We are currently developing dynamo. We have a couple of drafts internally. Basically, it would be here's the thing you're trying to get across. Here are the usual people that we're talking about outside of a student center.
That's
what are our requirements that we made?
I'll finish it by example.
What are our requirements? What are the requirements that we have to pay? They can match them and move forward with them. So that's the format of it. In terms of what role is the patient? One thing that you'll see is different about this DD that is not present in JAMA, kind of co-ownership of this process by students and student assembly members, and I know that that was something that we talked to a member of the process in the audience with, and I think that's going to be the key for the change. So not only is it up to the vice president of public relations or a minority representative or the VP out here to achieve diversity and inclusion to get this out, if that one is also on the leaders on campus that are involved with constituents that are, you know, that are stakeholders in initiatives that the CD is tackling. So it's up to them as well to make sure students know about this. If they have feedback or want to get involved on an initiative that we're pushing, then they have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's a great question. And just to quickly add on, we have a part three of that chart. It says all members of the community are communicating with them to report to their respective constituencies. So ideally, we'd be having the leaders of the developers, the IFC, those organizations, directly communicating to the members of the organizations what's going on. So what better way than to have those organizations directly communicating the last quicker than the team line and more relevant.
Next is Representative Smith.
Just to kind of recap the thing you talked about, I do think this is a great starting point, it's a great direction that it would be going. But I do have a few things that I get into the question. I think in the context of a lot of things that happen in the community, it's going to get a lot of turnout for the community. I just worry about long term what happens when the community doesn't seem to be a trend anymore. This could be because of forces that are becoming a trend instead of something that is bringing into the environment. So a couple of things I'd like to point out here from what I've been asking some questions about what it looks like. I would like to point out that I said about some of the other business situations, but all of our communities and some of the folks who focus on these publicly anyway, and there's like a student factor and things like that. But I do want to say that to make sure you are defining your terms and understanding what you're doing today and what things you're using and letting you use to find out these other people that it's particularly when you're talking about diversity, inclusion, multicultural issues, and the things you're behind. I do think the aspect of authority is absolutely fantastic. But I am going to say that there are specific goals for this. And I think last night we got off with the decree of the thought of there's confusion to when I say goals for the mission. So goals would be to increase awareness, something like that. And say, how? What about doing this mission, this mission, this mission? So you say, the goal of the mission is to be accountable to both students by your country and your country, how you do that by the visitation, so I think that's what I think we're looking for. That's what I think we're looking for personally, because I want to make sure that this has a standard set of goals.
You have 10 seconds.
And I would like to add that maybe I would suggest the undesignated at large representatives also be added to that list of thoughts from the chair, Mr. Johnson, Mr. President, and Mr. Marshall.
I'm not going to do formal amendments. I'm not going to budget right now. This is to both representatives of the SDSA. This is in no way a finished document. The reason we wanted to propose now is to get feedback and make it. We are very excited
Yeah, exactly. For everyone, there are a lot of other ideas that were thrown around for like different ways to improve the resolution. I know the co-sponsors are very open to hearing feedback about it, and you know we'll discuss it more next week, and people can make recommendations. I'd also encourage all of you to maybe even sit down, especially you, Ulysses, Representative Smith, because you do have feel very strongly about sort of those specific things, to maybe give recommendations about sort of how they could improve. So, next is Ari, Mr. Epstein. Former Cal's Representative Epstein.
What?
I was joking. Continue. Great, thank you. That is the end of the first speakers list. Is there anyone else who'd like to... Yeah, Oscar?
Thank you.
could be how we do address that issue. And in terms of the co-chairs, I agree with that there's lots of kind of issues. Sometimes when it's a co-chair model, but I do think that we have to experiment a little bit in this case, and that we have to understand a lot of the reason why many families and other communities are more than the past is because the students don't see themselves being represented on the essay or don't like working with the instructors, and I think having a co-chair model will present something different and allow for the way that we need teachers from the essay and some people from the student body to work together. And a lot of our organizations work with the co-chair model, and I think it works great for us, so there's a reason why we're working with
them. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on the first speaker's list before we move on to the second? Representative Sefanko.
Sorry, I have one more quick question. It's just as a community on the district and policy, I guess I'm just wondering what happens in a world where somebody doesn't have to show up from a certain position. If that would be happening, I guess I'm not sure if it doesn't have a question. Yeah.
So, what, how Janet works in the past, and it doesn't mean that consistency comes, it doesn't have to be the person that is holding like a panel to the leadership position of that organization. So, it could be anyone, for example, from the past, from ISD, I guess that would be the leader of the ISD, and just et cetera. So, it's not, we're doing it so we're accommodating people's schedules. And in this way,
okay. So that's the end of the second speaker's list. This resolution is going to come up next week. You guys heard a lot of good feedback, I think a lot of good suggestions that you can talk over with the sponsors and with other relevant stakeholders. And I encourage everyone here to think about it, think of more suggestions, and take into consideration everything you heard so you can, you know, clarify it for next week. Great. And thank you very much to Wei, Shannon, and Oscar, and Oscar's dad. I met you the other day for coming to our meeting, and we encourage you to come next week as well, and I'm sure we'll talk in between. Thank you guys very much. Next is Resolution 18. Improving Student Assembly Voting Procedures. No.
Like
Bible Church.
And I just want to point out that this expression is exactly what we'll do when we bring back the speech. We're going to have a list of every place in the Jordan umbrella for the speakers, just so we can see the language, and make sure that, you know, it's very clear what we're voting on. This expression is what we're going to do in the speech.
So I think one benefit is that in the same protocol, it won't be an explicit no, or perceived to be an explicit no, because sometimes very fast, but it actually reflects the sound towards that position.
Okay. Opening up the speakers list, first is Representative Smith.
I'm just wondering, can this, maybe this is a point of problem with your decision? Oh.
Oh. Okay. You want to be on the list?
No, this point, maybe the point of our relationship, but just is trying to be a different with our problem. Based on the current relationship with the bylaws, we can't really continue to try to get maybe not through the relationship. I mean, I think this could change the bylaws.
To you.
Yeah, so since it involves a charter change, it does require a two-thirds majority of the entire membership of the organization. And that's kind of straightforward. It requires, I did the math earlier, 19 members to vote on it. I'm just telling you that that's what the vote would be. So, I mean, since this is a bylaws change, this wouldn't take effect until we voted on it.
So you're saying, should it also say charter change on the top?
Yeah, or maybe it's supposed to be separate. I was expecting we need to change both for everything, like the one seat.
I think at this point, you guys can do a little more research about that and then decide whether it has to be split up. Next on the speakers list is VP Desai.
So my question is for the sponsor of the resolution, and it is seeing as how the only two types of situations where a vote is required either of members seated or of members present, the only two types of votes I think that those apply to are either changes to our bylaws, changes to our charter, or anything involving the student activity fee. Do you think that it is appropriate or even possible for a student assembly representative to be completely neutral on a change that either affects their operation or determines the student activity fee, which in my personal opinion is one of the most important charges that we face in the student assembly?
Yeah, I mean, what I feel is
I would like to point out that we're going to move to the next speaker. What's your point of parliamentary procedure?
Point of parliamentary procedure, could the chair please acknowledge the fact that making factual statements as a preface to a question or a post comment to a question is allowed by the charter? response to Trustee Boris's comment?
My response is right now we're going to move on to parliamentarians and Angela.
Thanks, Ed, for bringing this up. I have two questions, and then I'll yield to you guys to speak. The first one is that parliamentary procedures basically kind of try to make the procedures more simple. Whereas this, you know, before we had to have a certain number of members who voted yes in order to pass it. So, for example, if we, you know, if it's something to change, you know, that needs to be changed by the entire membership, it is, you know, 27, there's 23 members, so it must require the 19 to vote yes in order for it to pass. In this way, this motion, the way it requires you to, you know, count who's abstaining, then make sure that part of the quorum, then make sure, you know, do we have a two-thirds, and then what happens if we don't, and then it just kind of, you know, you end up being confused with that. So my first question is, how does this make parliamentary procedure for our organization and the voting process for an easier transition? And then secondly, my question was that how does this affect people's right to vote? Whether, you know, because technically abstaining is, even though you're not really voting yes or no, you're siding with the side that's for that. So how does this keep members from, who have an, like, who may have an opinion, basically, you limit the number, you're keeping them short, right? So how does this keep a minority group of the entire membership from making a majority decision? So, yeah.
Sure. I'll answer the second one first. I think the point is that the environment has right now is based on who shows up to the meeting, right? So 15 people show up to the meeting and 10 people vote yes, that's the entire organization that's it. So like I really want to stress that we don't think people can be able to sustain the ability to pass. And the second of all, the requirements in this are at least this stringent requirements. So it's the exact same situation we have. Remind me of the first question.
It was just how does this make it more simple?
So I think the issue that parliamentary procedure is supposed to make things simple to study the presentation. But it's supposed to also, it's not just a sacrifice. And right now, I think there's a real problem in that people cannot abstain from the source of those, and that then when they do, cannot be approved, and when they abstain, that's right into it. So we think that simplicity is good, but it's a sacrifice of effectiveness. And so in that regard, I think it's a really beneficial change to make here.
Representative Pritchett, and I'm going to extend for 5 minutes, but that's going to be it for today. Pritchett.
So my question is kind of more about do you think that this will make a person voting even more likely to abstain or less likely to abstain?
The second issue is that it allows you to make a change in this question. Because I think that right now there is a huge
group of people who are
that you are heading on your own, and I think that no matter what it is that you're voting on, you should be able to preserve that right. So that is the essence, or that is one part of the resolution, and the essence of the argument.
I just add something to that and ask this question. Is this simply standardizing the procedure between the two-thirds vote and the majority vote? So right now, the majority vote, it is the majority vote to cast the vote, but the two-thirds are two-thirds to members present. So I don't think it's like any two-thirds complex system, it's just standardizing the procedure between the two. So I don't think it's really anything we can vote, it's just, making it easy.
And I'm motion to extend their time so that they can actually answer the question.
So, no, but I'm going to allow another person on the speaker's list, if they want, to ask the question again. First is EVP Mueller, if they want.
Motion to adjourn.
There's been there's one other person on the speaker's list before. Would you mind if asked one more question? Dissent?
Recently.
So, yeah.
So my personal feeling for this is I'm pretty sure the previous essay hasn't really had a problem with extension, but that actually. Okay, my question is how frequently have we had extension problems? I feel like it's a good one.
Is that a point of information? I don't know how to answer that question. That wouldn't be subjective.
All right. What do you think of the
So, since the sponsor said it, to my knowledge, no, we haven't had any issues. With that, the time is now 6:34, and I am adjourning today's meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.